Would you turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12? We're going to begin reading in verse 1 in just a moment. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning in verse 1. You know, we've been going through a series of messages, things every Christian ought to know. And this morning we're going to look about how to find your spiritual gift, how to know what your spiritual gift is. If you're a child of God, you've been born again of His Spirit. God gave you a spiritual gift to be used in the body of Christ. And we're going to look at that this morning. And as always, we like to ask everyone who can to stand in honor of the reading of God's Word, if you're able. So if you would, let's stand in honor of the reading of God's holy and inerrant Word. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning in verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one of you for the profit of all. For to one is given the Spirit of wisdom through the Spirit, another word of knowledge through the same Spirit, another faith through the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings through the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing each one individually as He will. Let's pray. Father, we thank You this morning for Your Word. We thank You for Jesus Christ, our Savior, our Lord. Thank You for His death on the cross, His blood shed for our sin. And Lord, help me to proclaim Your truth now in the power of Your Holy Spirit. I pray that You'd let the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be acceptable in Your sight. Oh Lord, my strength, my Redeemer. Lord, I pray for each one here, Lord, that You just speak to our hearts in whatever manner that we need to hear, Lord. If there's someone here who doesn't know Christ as Savior, that today they would trust Him and be born again into His family. Lord, for each one, I pray that You just speak to our hearts. May we bring honor and glory to You in Christ's name. And amen. You may be seated. You know, if you look at verse 5 through 7 there again, he says there, or verse 4 through 7, he says, for there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. Each one in the church, when you were saved, you were given a gift of the Holy Spirit, a purpose to serve in the body of Christ. You know, Paul talks about another place in Corinthians here. He talks about the body, and he compares the church to the body, and he talks about some with hearing, some with the seeing, some with the eyes, some with the feet, some with the nose for smelling. And what he's doing is using the illustration that all of us are important. You know, I don't know about you, but I like to keep my eyes, and I like my hearing, and I like my seeing. Every part of my body, my hands, I need every part of my body. And the church needs all of the body working together. And we're united as a body working together in Christ. And that doesn't mean it's in unison. You know, when In Faith sings up here on Sunday mornings, when Kayla and Vicky and Kendall sing, they don't really sing in unison. They sing in unity, not unison. They sing different parts. It all works together in harmony. And it's not uniformity. Uniformity comes from pressure without and conform somebody into a certain thing. Unity comes from within. And it's not a union. You know, two can be joined together in a union, but that does not necessarily mean unity. You know, you can tie a cat and a dog together, but I don't think you'd say they'd have a lot of unity. Amen? They'd be united, but they wouldn't be together for sure. And the gifts of the Spirit unite us together in His work. And we divide people into two groups. We divide people in church into pastors and people. Pastors and laity, however you want to say it. But, you know, that's not really a good way to look at it. I read about a little girl's definition of pastors and preachers. She said, pastors are paid for being good, and the people are just good for nothing. Well, that's neither one of those are really correct. I give my best to live holy and good for Jesus Christ. You support me financially so I can devote myself to what He's called me to do. And you should give your best, not because you get any reward for it financially, because he gave his best for you. And it's, maybe it's like you've heard it said this way. For serving in the church, the pay is not very much for serving, but the retirement benefits are out of this world. You stop and think about it. You know, we don't serve to be rewarded down here. We serve for the reward up there. And if you're saved this morning, you've been called into ministry. You've been called into the body of Christ. And if you're not using your gift, you're going to be frustrated. You're going to be discouraged. You're going to be bored. You'll have no sense of purpose. And you'll wonder, why do I even come to church? Why do I do these things? And you watch so many people and you wonder. It's almost like a player. You know, I don't know about you, about football. I love to watch college football on Saturdays, but you, or even basketball. You watch a player on the sidelines, and he doesn't get in the game. He's just on the bench there. And sometimes he's frustrated. He's bored. He's over there, and you see his body language. He's not a happy camper at all. And you watch them on the sideline, and it's that kind of way in the church. When somebody's not involved working in the body of Christ, what God has called them to do, they're going to be discouraged, aggravated, upset. Sometimes they want to find fault with somebody else because they're not looking for what they need to be doing. You know, somebody said there's three kinds of people in church worship. There's those who make things happen. There are those who watch things happen. And then there are those who watch and see, trying to figure out what is happening. Amen. And let me tell you something. Spiritual gifts are not material gifts. It's not somebody with a lot of money. That money is not a spiritual gift. It's really not a gift of natural abilities like singing or playing an instrument. That's not a spiritual gift. When you stop and think about it, a spiritual gift is a supernatural gift that's used for God to bring glory to himself. And we call it supernatural because it's not natural in our own strength to do it. It's not a natural gift. It's something supernatural the Lord gives us to use for his glory in the body of Christ. In Romans 12, we're not going to dig into it much, but I'll just give you the overview of it. In Romans 12, we find the seven basic motivational gifts that God gives. He talks about the gift of prophecy, and that's the desire to proclaim truth, not prophetic, saying what's going to happen in the future, but prophecy proclaiming truth. Then there's the gift of ministry, he talks about. That's the desire to serve others within the body of Christ. Then the gift of teaching. The gift to teach others God's word, and the gift of exhortation, and that's a desire to challenge others to be everything they can be for God and his word. And then there's the gift of giving, and one who wants to give in helping the body of Christ to meet the needs. There's the gift of administration he lists there. That's a desire and ability to organize within the church and get things running smoothly. And then there's the gift of mercy. Those who have a heart of compassion want to show compassion within the church to those that are hurting. So he asked the question, what is my spiritual gift? How can I know it? I want to give you some simple things this morning how you can know what your spiritual gift is till you could use it in the body of Christ, not to be seen of men, but for his glory. First thing in your outline there, you can see you can know through his spirit. When you were saved, the Holy Spirit came into your heart and life, and he gave you a basic and a secondary gift to use. So there's some questions to ask yourself about that, to discern yourself. What's the Holy Spirit leading you to do? What's your door of opportunity? Is it to proclaim truth? Is it to serve others? Is it to teach God's word? Is it to challenge others? Is it to meet needs and giving in the church? Is it to organize in certain areas of the church to help? Is it to show compassion within the body of Christ? I don't know how many times. My gift is not mercy. My gift is prophecy. I love to proclaim the truth of God's word. That's where my heart is. But one of the things about the gift of prophecy, I've got a blind side, a blind spot, and that is me having compassion. And so many times I will miss things in the church, and somebody who has the gift of mercy will come up to me and say, you know, so-and-so really needs our prayers, or so-and-so, we really need to help them some way. They're hurting financially. They've got some needs in their life, and we need to help them. And I'm like, yeah, you're right, because I'm blind to it. And we're all blind to each other's needs sometimes. And we help each other. So the question is, what's God leading you to do? What's he calling you to do? How can I serve? Where can I serve within the church? The Holy Spirit will lead you in what you need to do. What's he burdening your heart about? But you can't get away from it. Something, just a burden within the church in your heart. Maybe it's a crisis in the church. Maybe it's a need, something in your heart. Let me tell you, the Holy Spirit will lead you in what he wants you to do because he's gifted you to serve in that manner. He's empowered you. He's given you supernatural ability to help in that area. You can know through his Spirit if we'll just listen to him. Second thing, you can know through his saints. You know, like I mentioned, we're blind to ourselves sometimes, and it's kind of like Jesus talked about the man who had the beam in his eye, and the other had the mote in his eye. Sometimes we got little beams in our eyes, and we don't see things clearly. But so we need the whole body of Christ to help us. Let me tell you something. They will tell you. If we will listen, church members will tell you what your gift is. And they don't even realize they're doing it, but it's God working together. They'll say, come up to you and they'll say something like, you know, you should be doing, and they'll give you something. Or they'll say, can you do this? Or will you do this in the church? You know, you are great, and they'll tell you what it is. They may say, you're a great, well, you're just really good at organizing things. Man, you just got a heart of compassion for people. Man, you're just really good at teaching God's word, or you're just really good at helping around the church. And you know, I'm always amazed at the people with the gift of serving the church. They'll jump in on fellowships like homecoming last week. They'll jump in and do things, and they never ask any credit for it. They just want to help. They'll get in there and start washing dishes or cooking food or whatever it needs to be because that's their gift. See, our deal is we need to listen to what the church says to us. And let me tell you something else. They will push you. They'll say things like, why don't you? Why don't you do this? Or why don't you do that? Or, you know, you'd do a great job with this. Or you'd be great at that. Or maybe they'll come up to you and say, will you help us with this? We have a need here. We need some help. Would you help us with this? It may be something. Would you help us get organized? Would you help serve? Would you help us put together a ministry for people that are hurting? But let me tell you something. They will also restrain you. If you start trying to do things that you don't really need to do and your gift's not gifted in that area, and they'll probably may come up to you and, you know, I don't really think you ought to do that. I remember my pastor, when I was called to preach, Larry Rice. Larry is one of the most unusual testimonies anybody ever heard. Larry was saved when he was in University of Auburn studying to be a teacher. And God called him to preach the minute he saved his soul. He said, as soon as he gave his life to Christ, the Lord says, I want you to preach the gospel. Then 3 weeks later, a church called him to pastor. Now, I don't recommend that because the Bible says not a novice lest he be lifted up with the pride of the devil. Amen. But they called Larry the pastor. He's just a new Christian. He didn't know much about the Bible. He didn't know anything. And one of the things he found out right quick, they had a financial need in the church. They were a little bit under the gun on some money. And Larry says, why don't we have a turkey shoot? And Larry said, his deacon said, Brother Larry, he said, that's gambling and we don't gamble in the church. They'll restrain you sometimes. They'll hold you back. I remember when I was in church there, right after I'd been called to preach in the church there, they had me teaching the youth class, and one of the kids had a birthday, and I thought it'd be cool to get a birthday party and have them all sign it. I was a young fledgling Christian too at this time. So I got this birthday card, and I was going to pass it out to all the kids in the class to sign it to their fellow classmate to wish them happy birthday. But I happened to show it to Larry, but this time he's gotten a little wiser, too. He looked at it, and he said, do you really want to give that to them? I said, well, yeah, what's wrong with it? He said, look at it. It was a funny birthday card of a barroom scene, and everybody was half drunk, and it was wishing a happy birthday to somebody. He said, is really that one the picture you want to give the kids? I said, no, probably not. Your church members will restrain you when you start to make a mistake. You start to get in areas you shouldn't do or things you shouldn't do. Listen to the saints. They will guide you in what your gift is. And you can know through his service. You know, you never know a player's abilities while he's on the sideline. I remember when I was in college at Hiawassee, down at Madisonville Junior College. I remember I played basketball in high school, so I'd go watch the basketball games when the team was playing. And I remember they had this guy on the team. He was a walk-on. His name was Billy Hodson. He played at Knoxville South High School. That is South Dole now. Billy was really a strange duck. If you look at him, you'd say, this guy couldn't play basketball at all. He was about 6 foot tall, but he played inside position, center and forward. Billy was almost an albino. His hair was almost white blonde. He very, very fair-skinned. He just didn't look like a ball player at all. How he even made the team, I don't know. But he was on the team, a walk-on, sat down at the end of the bench. One day in the middle of the season, they had a couple of players, inside players, got injured. And then in this particular game, a couple of other players got in foul trouble. And the coach says, Billy, I want you to go in there and play center. Now, remember, Billy's 6 foot tall. And centers back in that day at junior college were in a neighborhood of 6 foot six to 6 foot eight. So Billy's this little guy in the middle of all these trees in there. Billy started scoring. Billy started getting out-rebounding these guys and out-quicking them inside. He ended up about 20-something points for the game, and they won the game. Next week, they put Billy in the starting lineup again. Billy averaged about 20-something points the rest of the year. They didn't know how he did it. He was so little in there, he'd get the ball, he'd go around and lay it backside. He had some incredible shots he would put up. We would never known what a ball player Billy was if he'd stayed on the end of the bench. There's some of you like that this morning. I don't know what your abilities are, what your gifts are. But if you're sitting on the end of the bench and you're not doing anything, you're not getting involved in the church, you're never going to know. Get in the game. Get involved. Let the Holy Spirit lead you what He wants you to do. Listen to your church body to tell you where the needs are. Let them restrain you if you're going wrong in it, and God will bless you. Let me ask you a question. What door has God opened? What door has He opened for you to serve in the body of Christ? Have you walked through it? Have you went through the door? I'll tell you another little story. Somebody I worked with at Triangle Pacific years ago, a young guy named Tim McKinney. Tim McKinney had joined Alpha Baptist Church down there. Tim was probably about, at that time, 20, 21 years old, something like that. And Tim said, and this is his testimony to me, he said, I was going home from church one morning, and the message that the pastor preached just spoke to my heart. I just really wanted to do something for God. He said, I was going home, and he said, Lord, I was praying. He said, Lord, whatever you want me to do, I will do it. I want to serve you. Whatever you want me to do, just let me know what you want me to do. But Tim said the next Sunday morning he came into church and here comes somebody. It was about time for officers and teachers election in the church that year. Here comes somebody from the nominated committee and says, Tim, would you take this Sunday school class? Would you be the teacher in that class? Tim said, No, I couldn't teach a class. I said, okay, and they walked off. Tim said, all the way home, he said, God absolutely wore him out. He said, I thought you told me you'd do anything. I thought you'd ask me to let you know what you wanted me to do, and you'd do it. And here I give you an opportunity to do something, and you won't even do it. Tim said, I cried all the way home. So he said, Lord, if you give me another shot, another chance, I will do whatever you call me to do. He said, the next Sunday morning came in. Here comes the nominating committee again. I said, Tim, would you be assistant in such and such Sunday school class? Tim said he swallowed hard and said, yeah, yes, sir, I will. Well, they voted him in. But they told him, you know, you're his assistant. You might have to teach two or three times a year or something like it. Just when the teacher's out, we just need somebody as a backup. He said, okay. Well, the very first Sunday when they started the new church year, his teacher called him midweek and says, Tim, I'm not going to be there Sunday. Would you teach for me? So Tim said, yeah. Tim said he walked into that class this morning, got up in front of the class, opened his Sunday school quarterly in his Bible, and fainted. He said, God taught me a lesson. Just do what He calls you to do. Will you? Will I? You'll never know until you do. What area does He bless you in? Romans 12, we talked about the basic motivational gifts, prophecy. Has He given you a desire to proclaim the truth? Maybe it's you, young fellas here. I was 37 years old and God called me to preach. Maybe He's saying, I want you to preach my word. Maybe it's ministry. You got a desire to serve others. You want to serve somewhere in the church. Teaching, you want to teach God's word. Dale and I have talked about it. We need Sunday school teachers. Is God burdening your heart to teach the word of God? Is it exhortation? You just want to have a desire in your heart to challenge others and encourage them to be everything they can be for God? Is it giving? It's you just want to meet the needs. Interesting thing about those with the gift of giving, usually, can I use this term? They're usually tightwads. Hello? They're very tight with their money. And God gives that to them for a reason, because they are very frugal with their money. When there is a genuine need, they're very giving. And they'll give in a heartbeat and want others to give. It's an amazing thing. But they take and save up money, they take care of their money and their finances, so that when there is a need in the church, they're ready to give and to help. Maybe it's administration. Desire to help organize things, maybe in a ministry in the church or something else. Or maybe you've got the heart of mercy that God has given to you to show compassion. And you know folks that are hurting in the church, and you need to say, you know, we need to help those people. And the church will encourage you in the area that you need to serve in. And that's where you need to be. So let me ask you the question this morning. What brings you satisfaction? What soothes that itch in your heart? What is it God's placed on your heart He wants you to do? I learned a lesson several years ago when 9/11 happened. I was up at Russellville. And when that crisis hit our nation, and we weren't the only church to do this, but we called an immediate prayer meeting for that night. It said, everybody that can, come to church tonight. We're going to pray for our country. And we probably had 35 or 40 people there that night. But I remember before we actually started praying, I remember listening to the people, because everybody, you know, their hearts were so burdened, they wanted to talk about it. And I remember hearing people, and their spiritual gifts were popping out in what they said. I remember one guy, he had the gift of prophecy, which tends to, you see things black and white, good and evil, and things like that. He said, you know, we just ought to go over and nuke them. I mean, he was ready to bring the hammer down on the terrorists. And then there was somebody else that had the gift of giving, said, you reckon we ought to take up an offering for those people in New York? And then somebody with the gift of serving, how can we help them? What can we do? You know, there were some of them ready to load in a bus and go up there right quick and help. Of course, there was no way anybody without a first responder could even be used in that situation. But they were ready to go. There was some with the gift of mercy. Man, I just feel so badly for those people. We just need to pray for them. They've lost family and they've lost members. Others are in hospital. It was just popping out. I was just standing in awe, amazed at it. And I tell you all that to tell you this. Where there's a crisis, whether it's a major one like in our country, or shooting or whatever it may, or even something in church, watch people, listen to them. Their heart will tell you their spiritual gift by what they want to do. So I want to ask you a question this morning. Do you know what your spiritual gift is? Are you using it? If you know what it is and you're not using it, you need to be using it. You're part of the body of Christ. If you don't know what it is, listen to the Holy Spirit. Listen to your church. Listen to what He's calling you to do. Look for the opportunities He gives you. And you know, when we serve together in the body of Christ, it brings honor and glory to our Savior. Amen? Isn't that what it's all about? Father in heaven, we thank You this morning for Your word. And thank You, Lord, that when You saved us, You gifted us. You gave us Your Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us in all truth. And You gave us a spiritual gift to use within Your body to minister to the body. Lord, help us to be Your hands, Your feet, Your heart. With every head bowed and every eye closed this morning, just for a moment, I want to just ask this morning, are you here this morning you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? God didn't make it hard. All of us are sinners. We all sin and come short of the glory of God. We've all failed in keeping God's word and God's commandments. God knew that, and that's the reason he sent his son Jesus to die on the cross for us, to give his life to pay the price for our sin debt, that we could have eternal life. We could be a new creature in Christ. We could be adopted in the family of God. And Jesus died and shed his blood for us, and he rose again from the grave, having conquered death, hell, and the grave, to give life to each one of us and all who would trust in him. So he did the hard work. He rose again from that grave. And he sits at the right hand of the Father, reaching out to anyone who would trust him, ready and willing to save you and give you eternal life. He's waiting for your answer. With our heads bowed and eyes closed, that's the gospel. If you will trust him this morning, he'll save you. Just a moment, we give the invitation. If you want to trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you just come down and say, Pastor, I want to be saved. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He will save your soul. He'll give you a new life in Christ. He'll adopt you into his family. He'll give you his Holy Spirit. He'll give you a spiritual gift. And he'll take you to heaven when this life is through. If you're here this morning, you are saved. Are you serving the Lord? Or are you sitting on the sidelines? God wants you to get in the game. God wants to use you in ways that the world would deem supernatural. Let him. We're going to pray in just a moment. And whatever the invitation is for you this morning, if you need to come and pray about where God would have you to serve, you need to come and say, I want to trust Jesus Christ. Or maybe the decision you need to make, you've been saved, but you've never been baptized by immersion to show that you've trusted Christ as your Savior. Maybe you just want to come and pray for our church that we'd all be what God has called us to be. Let's follow his leading this morning. And Father, we thank you for your son Jesus who made it all possible. Thank you, Jesus, for the gift of your Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray that you just lead in this invitation. You draw us to yourself in the manner that you choose. Lord, we bring honor, glory to you. I thank you for each one here, Lord. You know the need of every heart, Lord, for that one who needs to trust Jesus. I pray that you would just draw them to yourself right now, that they would trust you and be saved. For that person, Lord, that you're just burdening, it's about something you want them to do within the church, I pray that you just give them the strength and desire to follow you. Just lead us and guide us now, we pray, in Christ's name. And amen. Would you stand with me?